Well, praise God, it's finished. The word the priest used was telestai, and that's what Jesus was saying on the cross. At the same time, the lamb, the four-legged lamb down in the temple area was having its throat cut. The priest would cry, it was finished, and Jesus was God's lamb, amen. Oh, that's good. Thank you, Sister Clark. What a blessing. So powerfully done. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Acts near the end. We'll go to about chapter 26, I guess. I will jump into it a little bit, hoping you understand a little bit of the context. I guess if I was going to give it a title tonight, I'm going to scatter it probably a little bit, but if I was going to give it a title for the tape room, I'd say finishing up with the right things. Maybe being faithful to the right things. Acts 26, we get into the end time with Paul. It's a blessing to me to see how the Bible characters ended up. And Paul, of course, is what a tremendous testimony. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, Christian in the New Testament church age that ever lived. Writing the majority of the New Testament, I think Luke might have wrote more words, but Paul certainly more books. And we're reading about him now. He's been arrested. He'll never be a free man. He was free in his spirit. And we'll find out later he got a lot of liberty, sort of like under house arrest. And he kept on preaching. But he's never really a free man again from this little before this point right on to the end. And was being passed from one ruler to another. He kind of got in the Roman court system and couldn't get out. Each ruler not really finding any reason to hold him, but they would pass him on. And by the way, that still happens in the system today. You got good rulers and bad ones. Boy, I can't help it, but we're under some bad ones right now. I saw a flash on the news there this afternoon, maybe in the newspaper too, where the president had killed the oil pipeline. All the money that's been spent on it for 7 years investigating it for the EPA junk. They say they got those tree-hugging nuts out there chaining themselves to some tractor tires. Good thing I'm not the tractor driver, that's all I got to say. We'd fix that problem in a hurry. Anyway, really crazy. Of course, his excuse is that we want to keep the carbon out of the air. We want to be the leader, the leading nations that's environmentally protecting the planet, blah, blah. Do you ever think about it like this? Now, I'll get to the sermon in a minute, maybe. Do you ever think about it like this? The pipeline is the cleanest way in the world to transport the oil. An oil truck on the road may have a wreck, a train may have a wreck, but and not only that, getting it from Canada and North Dakota, coming down toward Texas, on the pipeline, that makes it cheaper. See what's happening in America, they intend to bring the oil price back up. And they're bringing America down with this kind of foolishness. Really terrible. And but if there was something to the carbon footprint, and I think a footprint needs to be put in certain places I won't name from the pulpit. But anyway, if there was anything to it, the same oil, somebody's going to use it. Now in America, we'd use it cleaner than they're going to use it when it gets to China. So they want to protect the whole planet so that out of China, it'll dirty up the air, if there's anything to that. It'll dirty up the air far worse than if it was used in America. But it'll sure hit your billfold and mine when we go to the gas pumps. That's what the whole thing's about. Well, that didn't cost you anything. Acts chapter 26. I'm going to have to jump in it because the story has a long beginning before this. Apostle Paul is defending himself. He's recounting his testimony of how he was saved, how the Lord Jesus met him on the Damascus Road, and so forth. Starting in verse 10 of Acts 26. He's talking about it now. He says, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. Talking about what he was doing before he got saved. Having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. No wonder later Paul said that he was the chiefest of sinners. He was part of the big conspiracy of putting the saints to death. He said in verse 11, I punished them often in every synagogue, that's believing Jews, that was turning to Christ, and compelled them to blaspheme. That means in the sense of getting them to say that Jesus was God, they considered that blasphemy. That's what they charged the Lord Jesus with himself. And said, in being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, that's one of the strange cities he's talking about, he's traveling to it, with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, now he's making this defense between King Agrippa here. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And the pricks is referring to the what they would have, the sharp sticks that they would have when they have an ox or something pinned up and he was trying to kick his way out. They'd have those sharp sticks that the ox would kick into and it'd teach him not to kick again. And so the Lord is telling Paul, you're like that old dumb ox in the stall. You're kicking against the pricks. You can't win against me. A lot of folks haven't learned that lesson yet. But that's what he was talking to him about. Verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Now, verse 16 is where I'm going to want to park tonight. I'll come back to it in a minute. Delivering thee, Jesus is talking to Paul. Paul's recounting it now to King Agrippa. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. All of this Jesus is speaking here. Paul comes back now and he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. I'm going to stop there to say, I want you to go back to verse 16 and pick up these thoughts here with me. Paul's told to rise, stand on his feet. The Lord Jesus is talking to him, and he tells him, I've got a purpose now. That purpose is to make thee a minister and a witness. Both of these things, both means more than one. Both of these things which thou hast seen, that's number one. And of those things in which I will appear unto thee, that's number two. And that's the two main points I want to talk just a little bit to you tonight. I want you to look at these the word things. Things is a very comprehensive word. The list just goes on forever. If you want to list things, you can name all kind of categories, all kind of things. We're all human and we're all in this world. And if we enjoy life at all, at some point in it, we get attached to things. Various people are attached to different things. Now, somebody said beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I guess that's good. Otherwise, everybody'd want the same wife or the same husband, amen? And so, things, though, have an attraction to us. Now, the Bible says, love not the world, neither what? The things of the world. And so that's the thing that we have to deal with right there in these things. We get attached. I remember the husband saying to the wife, he got her to look at the new car in the show window, and he said to her, hon, he said, I've got my heart set on that thing. She said, that's okay. That's the only part of you that will set on it. And so we understand a little bit about that, but having a heart on many different things, but it's really good when we can put the things that should be most important first and be faithful to them. And Paul was told here by the Lord two things. He said, I'm going to give you both of these. He said, of these things which thou hast seen, things you already have seen, and the things which I will yet cause you to see, yet ahead of you, that will appear unto thee later. Now, Paul is told by the Lord he's going to be made a minister of these things. And as we go through a few thoughts on it tonight, the thing is, Paul stuck by the right things. He was faithful to the right things. And if there's any lesson for you and I, it's to pick the right things and then stay with the right things and be faithful to the right things, as certainly as we get saved and start serving the Lord. Begin with, let me say, the things which thou hast seen. What Paul seen? Well, in Acts 7, he'd seen Stephen stoned, hadn't he? He'd seen something, and Stephen saw heaven open and the Lord Jesus Christ standing and welcoming his spirit, right? Well, wait a minute. I don't know that Paul saw heaven open, but he saw a martyr die for something. He saw Stephen, he saw and felt and heard his testimony. I don't believe Paul ever got over that. I believe he was under conviction as he went down that road toward Damascus. I believe God was already speaking to his heart. He'd seen Stephen stoned, and what then did he see on the Damascus road? Well, he said here to the king, a bright light. They all fell down. A voice was heard, but nobody else heard the voice but Paul, or could understand the voice but Paul. And the truth is, that was quite an experience. Paul never got over it. What you got now, he's rehashing the story that happened in, what, Acts 9, I guess. And he's rehashing the story here at the end of his life. He's telling it again in all of its detail and power. And he's telling it in a very high place, about as high as he could go in the land. He'd appealed to Caesar, and he'd not made it to Caesar. He's going to try to get to Caesar and have a shipwreck. You know the rest of the story. But he gets there, but he saw something on the Damascus Road. Now, we apply that to our own Christian lives in this sense of the word. What's our experience been? What have we seen? You say, well, I haven't seen anything. Well, probably you're not thinking about it right. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen somebody that was converted from sin, evil, wrong kind of living to the right kind? Have you ever seen somebody that Christ made a big difference in their life? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. And old things, there's the word things again, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. There's a change when you get saved. And part of that change has to do with your taste for things, a different outlook on things. It makes a big difference. You get them to where you can properly evaluate them. It's amazing today to see how many people give their life, their attention, their wealth, their health, everything they've got to the things that's going to pass away. That's what the Bible says. It says the world passeth away. And the lust thereof, the lust for things, material things. We live in a materialistic society, no doubt about it. But what have you seen? Have you seen really a genuine conversion? Now, the world don't understand that. I find it funny when the news people try to talk about things they know nothing about. Under the big attack they've been bringing on Ben Carson here in the last few days, the biggest thing wrong, I said it this morning because he's a black conservative, but more than that, he said he believed the Bible. He believed in creation. And so them trying to explain this thing said before he had his epiphany. That's not a Baptist word. It's not a Bible word. That's high religious talk. They have an epiphany ceremony over here at Tampa once in a while, and generally in the middle of the wintertime. And the priest throws a cross in the water, and all these young boys die for it. And, oh, what a great thing, the one that gets it. Are you girls listening to me, or are you talking about something else? Listen to me or fake me out, make me think you're listening to me, all right? They have an epiphany ceremony over there. Now, that's the way to try to explain something they don't understand. Epiphany, a high point in religion? No, conversion, when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, when you get born again, when you get saved. And I believe from hearing Carson talk, he probably did. Now, he's Seventh-day Adventist, so he's mixed up on his days, but maybe he's saved by the grace of God. He sounds like he is, and I'm proud to hear that kind of testimony. Amen. But have you ever seen a genuine conversion? I believe I have. In my ministry, I've seen some fellows that the community said no hope for. I've seen some that were pretty bad eggs in the eyes of society, and look what God done with them when they got saved. Amen. I think all of us could tell a story like that. I remember one time I was preaching in the country church up in Sumter County on a Sunday morning. And the crowd was not big. I don't know if we had maybe 75 to 100 people in the building, maybe, which was pretty well filled our little building. And a fella come in I'd never seen before. He sat on my right on the very back row back there. He was a fairly tall guy, strong looking man. He sat there and I don't think his eyes ever blinked. I mean, I could see him just totally looking at me and just not hardly moving. And when I gave the invitation, he did move. He came down the aisle and got saved. I found out something about him. I'd found out at one time he'd been a highway patrolman, but he'd fallen out of graces, he'd gotten criminal trouble, and he'd done some really, really bad things. But that morning he got saved. And talk about doing a flip, brother. Talk about becoming a new creature. Talking about being different to where everybody talked about it. And the last time I talked to him, in fact, I believe he called me on the phone several years ago and got me here. And he said, I don't know where he'd heard me on the radio or what, but he said, I just wanted to let you know I'm still living for Jesus. Amen. Difference, man, difference. Conversion, saved, new creature in Christ. That's what we're talking about. Read a little history. Find out some of the Indian chiefs that were known for being ferocious, but how they got saved and what a difference it made. Some of them got mistreated by our government. Well, that's nothing new, but anyway, truth of the matter is it made a real difference in their lives and wonderfully so. Now I ask you and I ask myself, do we still believe that could happen? We do, don't we? Then let's stick by that thing of conversion. Let's stick by that thing of becoming a new creature. Let's stick by that thing of it is still what we ought to stay faithful to. What are we doing here with buses? What are we doing here with the Sunday school? What are we doing with the Christian school? What are we doing with the college? We believe people can still be reached. They can still be saved. They can still be born again. They can still become new creatures in Christ. Let's don't give up on that. Let's stay with it. As Paul was faithful to the things that the Lord showed him, let's stay faithful to them. The program here at the church needs your support financially, yes, in a big way. In your prayers, yes. In whatever you can do, yes. Let's don't get too sidetracked on things that aren't near as important as the things of Christ and the things we're involved in the program here. We hear on the radio, we hear the program Unshackled. How many of you get to listen to that sometime? Sometime it's a real blessing. Sometime I even recognize some names on occasion. And sometime they'll reach way back in history and get one of the old timers, somebody like Billy Sunday or Mel Trotter. I hope you know those names, where the gospel reached them and what a different person they became after the gospel got a hold of them. And this thing of conversion is still real. It still works. The gospel, the Bible says, Romans 1:16, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to who? Everyone that believeth. Anybody that believes is qualified to get born again. Amen. Dr. Lee Robertson, you know who I'm talking about. God used him so mightily. The people that came in, did you see this pew full of people this morning right here where Sister Harvey and them sitting? They came to him at the door, and that family had been raised in Dr. Lee Robertson's church back before he retired. The oldest one, the mother, talked to me about it a little bit. And she gave us a good compliment this morning. She said it was like going back to the old days under Dr. Lee Robinson and hear the straight, simple truth from the pulpit. And that was I praise the Lord for that kind of a testimony. But Dr. Lee Robinson used to say, keep preaching the gospel. It has not lost its power. And that's what Romans 1:16 says. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That's a broad statement. Everyone, it's still true. That means the fellow that walks by here with his pants down when they ought to be up, it'll work on him. It means the one that comes by with his windows open playing the dirty, rotten, dirty word music for the whole world to hear, he can get saved too. The power strong enough to reach him. It even means some of these, and once in a while it happens, even these antichrist crowd out there that's attacking everything that's wholesome and right and godly, once in a while one of them gets reached. But you know, my job and your job is to keep on believing the gospel will save and getting it out. Getting it out. Sharing it with others as we're commanded. That's something we need to stick by. And something else we need to understand, and we do, but we have to be careful to remind ourselves because the flesh is weak. But we need to believe that it is profitable to serve God. Now, a lot of people say, oh, yes, with their lips, but their life denies it. They don't serve God. They're only serving self. But profitable to serve God, to be faithful, involved in the... in the work of Christ, the mission of his church that he left here, you know, a lot of folks want somebody else to do it. What is the saying, let so-and-so do it? Let who? George? Let George do it? We don't have enough Georges. Some of us need to change our name to George. We need to get busy at doing what God's asked us to do. Attitudes, let somebody else do it. Something like this. Let somebody else's kids surrender to the mission field, not mine. Yeah, that's not an amen statement, but... well, let the other kids go to church all the time, not mine. Well, if I send my kid to that Christian school down there, he may become an introvert and not fit into society. You ever heard that kind of talk? Well, go ahead and send him where you want to, and I'll visit him when he gets in jail. Just give me the address. You say, that's a joke. No, it's happened more than you think. I will not call names, but in my mind right now, I see the faces. I see the pictures. I remember some parents here years ago, and got the kid in our Christian school. But they were so concerned that we were not big enough, we were not modern enough, we were not up with the times. And they pulled the kid out and put him in the public school. And I talked to him about it a little bit. Well, we just got to do what's best for him. I'm talking about people that claim to be saved. I'm talking about people that are church members. And the Lord spoke to me and said, just watch how he turns out. Mark this one. Don't forget this incident. You see, I've lived long enough to see how a lot of folks turn out. I mean, a lot of them. Well, I did watch. And I'm sorry to say, it didn't turn out good. Not good at all. Now, I wonder, if they'd have said, God's first... oh, the school might not be the biggest. It might not be right up there with all the social programs. It might not have all the sports activities. But bless God, that's God's school. And that's God's cause. I wonder how that kid would be doing now instead of what he is doing. Hey, that's something to think about. I've watched it with more than one. The Bible says, I have been young. And now I'm old. I fit the verse, some of you do. I've been young, now I'm old, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The commitment there, God says, stick with me. From young to old, I'll take care of you. I'll supply your needs. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And you want to get in to collect on the promises of God, you got to stay faithful to the things God gives you to do and the things that are priorities, God's priorities. Paul here was told the things which thou hast seen. God told him both, two things. The things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. And so the second barrel of it here, those things in which I will appear, he's basically saying reveal unto you. Now the list would be long. You can go through the next verses right here on the bottom and see some of them. If you just drop down here to about verse 18, 19, right in here, let me see. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. Now you see, Paul was chasing after the believers, putting the saints in jail, but now God puts the shoe on the other foot. And so he tells them some things I'm going to reveal to you, and one of them is I'm going to have to deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee. And boy, he sure did, didn't he? He had to do that. One time he had to let Paul over a wall in a basket to escape. You remember that? You remember when the men made a vow they wouldn't eat, they wouldn't drink until they killed Paul? Have you ever often wondered what happened to those men? Because God delivered Paul. I guess they starved to death, didn't they? Huh? Boy, a man's mouth can overload him every now and then. And that was the case right there. But God delivered Paul. He said also from the power of Satan. Satan put a thorn in the flesh for Paul he never could get rid of, buffeted him with it. No telling what Paul went through under the sufferings that Satan could put on him. But while he was doing it, what did he do? He started a bunch of churches, didn't he? He got a lot of souls saved. Oh, they stoned him one time, left him outside the city for dead. But he got up, went on his way. It might have been the time God called him up into the third heaven and showed him things it was unlawful to tell us about. But that's what the Lord's referring to. Those things which I will reveal to you later. Now, you know, quite a bit by Paul. Learn a lot more as you read the epistles, because we wouldn't have the clear understanding that we do have of what was Sister Clark was singing a while ago about the Clark. Sister Clark was singing about the cross and it's finished, and the battle that went on Golgotha. We get a good glimpse, as Paul writes in Ephesians 6:12, about the principalities and powers. Except for Paul's writings that God revealed and gave to him, how much wouldn't we would not know? And the churches and the church truth and all that we have in the epistles, the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to reveal these things. And Paul was faithful to the things God showed him and the things God revealed to him. And such things as the truth of grace and justification doctrines. But he tells us even more than that. We learn about the rapture through the Apostle Paul. We learn a lot about the Antichrist through the Apostle Paul. These things that he stayed faithful to, and God revealed them through him. We wouldn't know, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul tells us there's coming a strong delusion on the world about the time Christ comes and the Antichrist is being revealed and the world's being deceived. And Paul tells us there's going to be a strong delusion from God to let the unbelievers be fooled and deceived. He also tells us, thank God, in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, that we, the church, the saved, are not appointed under wrath. I'm not going to suffer under the wrath of the tribulation period that's given to the Jew and the Antichrist, and the Jew is going to have their time, but I'm going to be caught up with the Lord looking down on that stuff. I know that from what Paul wrote. So I'm glad he was faithful and let the Lord use him to reveal those things that you and I can open the book and find and understand even tonight. But you know, I'm thankful that we moved to the very last, if you would, look with me, the last verses of Acts chapter 28. Let's just turn over a page or two. Get to the book. Paul's got to go through the shipwreck. God's going to deliver him through that. But I get over to Acts 28, look at verse 30 and 31. Down to the end of Paul's life. Now, if history is correct, and I think it probably is, Paul had his head chopped off at Nero's chopping block. He stayed in jail at Rome. He had a lot of liberty. He won a lot of souls, but finally the end came. And it's believed that he had his head chopped off by the Roman Emperor Nero. But it says in verse 30, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. Still a prisoner, but he had his own hired house. That means he rented and received all that came in unto him. Now, how is he in his life? He's been faithful to the things Christ showed him, the things Christ revealed to him. And in the end, God sets him up in his own house with people coming to him. God is good, isn't he? He received all that came. No telling how many souls he won. We'd have no idea. But it says, preaching the kingdom of God. He hadn't changed. Hadn't changed his doctrine. Preaching the kingdom of God, which you must be born into, and teaching what? There's that word things again, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. And I like this, no man forbidden him. No man forbidden him. My. I'd like to end my trip through this world, and especially since I've been saved and trying to serve God, I'd like to end it like Paul. Right on down to the end, winning souls. Right on down to the end, doing the work of God. Right on down to the end, being loyal, faithful to the things God has revealed. My. I've seen so many today start changing their doctrine. Get a little puzzled over the circumstances of the world. Listen, your doctrine don't depend on the world. Depends on the word of God. Stick with what you started with, that you know what God's proven in your life is true. Don't give it up. Stay with the right things. Amen. Stay with it. It's a sad day today that so many people are selling out. Churches. I was talking with one of the brothers back there tonight. They're talking about the church they were in going to the left, going liberal. It's called compromise. Listen to me. Truth compromised is no longer truth. Truth compromised is no longer truth. It's been changed. It's been altered. It's not the same. Somebody said things that are different are not the same. And they're not. And yet I find a lot of people today think they can just take the word of God, twist it, pervert it, rewrite it, reinterpret it, and it's still the same. No, it is not. It's been compromised. You know, a little bit of my own testimony. I've been serving God a long time. Made mistakes I wish I had not made. By the grace of God, from the time I got saved until now, I've been faithful to his house. That's one thing he revealed to me. I've been faithful to his book. That's another thing he's revealed to me. I've been faithful to give to his cause. I've been a tither ever since I understood what the word meant, and much more, much above a tithe. That's the thing God revealed to me. And I believe it's just as important today to stay faithful to those things as it was when I first heard about them. And on my own journey and my own testimony, I remember from teaching an 11-year-old boys class, teaching teenagers. Oh, yeah, you wouldn't believe it. I used to could relate to teens. Hard now. Different creatures now. But I think they might have been different back then, too. I had a successful teen ministry. Some of them made preachers and missionaries. I thank God for some of the testimonies of my early years of teen group. Then I taught young married couples class and kept thinking God was going to be satisfied with that, but he wasn't. He said, you're going to have to surrender to preach. So from one thing, he led me to another thing, to another thing, to another thing, but he won't lead you until you're faithful in the thing that he reveals to you, commits to you to do. As a pastor, I'm still repeating what I've always done. Driving down the road the other day, and I got to thinking, I remember I've had distress for 47, 8 years. I've had the weekly stress of knowing I was fixing to have to stand up and preach again. Now, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Today, 3 times. If I do a chapel this week, that'll be another one. I'm going up to Jacksonville tomorrow, and I hope to God I don't have to preach up there in the preacher's meeting. I'd rather listen by far. But for 47 years, always knowing the Bible says I got to be instant in season and out of, I've got to be able to get up and open his word and give somebody something out of it pretty regular. And so I've been repeating. And I apologize to some of you folks for repeating stuff you've heard. But like Brother Bradley said the other morning when he fell off his horse, it's harder up here than you think. Amen? And the truth of the matter is, when I do repeat, some of you got such short memories you don't know. Then half the crowd wasn't here when I said it the first time. So I don't feel sorry for you. I'm still staying true. As long as what I say is true and lines up with the book, I'm sticking by the things God gave me to stick by, and that's okay. Amen? Yeah. Sticking with the old Bible, sticking with the old church doctrine, truth. Sometimes I ask myself the question, Lord, is anybody listening? Did anybody get it? Did it help anybody? Did it make a difference in anybody's life? And sometimes I wonder when I see people slip and fall into the same old sinful septic tank as if I had never warned about it. Sometimes I feel that way. But then occasionally I get a note. Occasionally I hear a direct testimony from somebody that did help. They got saved, or they got on the right path, and they're serving God. The whole score won't be in until, like Paul, I get to the end. I hope it ends in the rapture, but it might end in cancer. It might end in a lot of things. End any kind of way God wants it to end. But I sure want to have the testimony. He stuck by the stuff. He stayed by the things. He didn't change them. The things God gave him to be faithful to, he stayed with them. And I think every one of us as Christians ought to often recommit in our hearts. I don't need something new. I just need to stay by what is right and do it again and do it again and do it again and be faithful to it again and again and again. If you want to stay straight with God, that's the way it works. He's given a commitment to every one of us. The things you used to believe in, winning souls, living a clean life, you name it, still do it. Still be dedicated to it. Still be faithful to it. And God will bless you, I believe. I was thinking about occasionally hearing a testimony. I stopped one afternoon, saw a preacher I knew, younger man, of course. Everybody younger than me now, but younger man. I saw him, he's doing a good job. I stopped and talked to him about another subject a little bit. And somehow, preacher to preacher, said something about preaching. And I said to him, I said, well, I'm still doing the same thing. I'm still preaching the same. And then I'm a little bit of a pessimistic fellow. I shouldn't have probably said this, but I said, whether it's doing much good or not, I'm still sticking with it. He said, it's doing good. It changed my life. And he reminded me way back, saying that what I preached, God used to change his life. Well, that's a blessing. I heard that testimony. I hope when I get to heaven, I'll hear a lot more that you never hear down here. Folks, let me encourage you. You say church again, duty, must just go out of duty, gotta go, it's church again. Hey, get the attitude right. Bless God, I'm gonna stick with what's important. The things you've revealed to me, the things you let me see, the things you let me do, I'm gonna stay faithful to them. And let me say tonight, if this message would help you at all, it'd be to make a new vow or recommit. Lord, I'm not gonna change. I'm gonna stick right where you put me, doing right what I've been doing, because that's what's pleasing to you. I hope you might make that commitment. Let's bow our heads. Stand quietly at our feet. We'll give an invitation. If you're here and you're unsaved, I didn't really preach to you, but if you'll come forward, we'll take a Bible and show you how you'd be saved and how you'd know it. And all what we need today is Christians that just keep on being faithful to the same things God's revealed to them. Keep on doing.